Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Yeah, my pseudonym, a group of men, it doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Does anybody know what this crypto
thing is? Tokens Radio Show. How you doing? It's Sunday, January the 21st.
Yes, it is. Yes. Hi.
Hey there.
It's a good day in the neighborhood.
It sure is. We're broadcasting live from the KCNR studios in Redding, California. You can find us on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
I am.
And our live stream is on KCNR1460.com. And we have producer Christina in the studio today.
We do. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. We have the Chris's in the studio today. Yes. The Chris's, Christine's, the Christie's.
The CCC.
And the Karens.
Yeah. I'm the Karen. If you haven't figured it out, Linda's the Karen today.
And we have a returning guest in the studio today. We have Christine Cranley here. And we'll get to bringing Christine here in just a moment. But go ahead and say hi.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
It's great to be back.
Yes, it's great to have you. So do you want to chat with us? Go to KCNR1460.com and enter the chat room. And Christina, if you're very nice to her, we'll let you in. And if you'd like to, she's shaking her head. No, not going to happen. And if you'd like to call in, our number is 530-605-4567. And, I should also say how you can find us on Telegram and X at Tokens Radio Show. And one last thing. I am completely off script today.
Hey, all right.
Yeah.
Party time.
Party time.
Oh, yeah, party time.
You can get an archive of this show at KCNR1460.com, where you can get today's show as well as any other show that has been recorded here on KCNR.
If you guys didn't know, I was doing the little dance with
yep,
the party time.
Yep, she sure was. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or I could be doing this.
Yep. Well, you know, Bitcoin's taken a little dip the last few days, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's still up there pretty good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Bitcoin's sitting at 41,664. Ethereum's at 24.67. XRP, what is going on with that? It's 54,
wow.
55 cents, and XLM is right around 12 cents.
You know, on the morning show, we have a guy that always does the spot prices for gold and silver. So this morning I decided, why don't we do Bitcoin as well?
Good.
So I posted Bitcoin this morning.
Right on.
But the price was going, so.
All right.
Well, this part of the show is sponsored by the Queen of Dragons. This local establishment takes great pride in delivering top quality items at competitive prices. Excuse me. They ensure the safety and freshness of all their offerings through rigorous testing. The Queen of Dragons has a diverse range of premium products freshly packaged daily. They're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Stay updated on their deals by following at Queen Dragons on X or contact them at 530-276-9771.
Ah, that's terrific. They're great people. You know, they've been sponsoring the show for quite a while now. And you go into their shop, they've got great staff. And if you're trying to solve a medical issue and augment what you're doing or add to what your routine, they can help you with that. Of course, they don't give medical advice. They can just kind of help you figure some things out.
Right. And we used to, you know, read some testimonials for different people that have gone there. You know, they're great for a lot of people for different medical reasons.
Right.
They are able to go someplace and get relief that doesn't do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
and stuff.
And I think the biggie there is that they champion medical freedom. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Give you the option.
Yes. So if you'd like to join the following discussion, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin mining here. And Christine just happens to have some expertise in that, and we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. So you can give the station a call at 605-4567 or hit us up in the chat at kcnr1460.com. So why don't we welcome our guest, Christine Cranley. Christine's an investment advisor and an ambassador for the Texas Bitcoin Council. She has expertise in Bitcoin mining and its supporting industries. Not only that, she's been heavily involved with educating legislators, both nationally and locally, in the benefit of including Bitcoin mining as a second-tier plan for supporting treasuries and the grid, a national security concern, which is kind of a concern all the way around.
Yes, it
Christine,
is.
Christine, welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
It's great to be back. Talking about my favorite topic with some of my favorite people in one of my favorite areas of the country.
Yeah, Christine's fallen in love with Shasta County.
Yes, she has.
It's true. I feel like it's a forbidden romance. Texas girl falls in love with California.
Yeah, it's got to be a little bit different than Texas, I would think, Northern California.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I completely agree with falling in love with the area. And I think as we talked about offline, it's not necessarily like Redding. It's what Redding is central to, to all the beautiful places that you can go to. And you just can't find and visit all of these places like in 1 week or 2 week vacation.
Yeah.
You need to spend some time to really appreciate everything that's here.
You really do. I got the federal park pass this summer, and oh my goodness, best purchase just everywhere around in this area, Mount Lassen, Whiskey Pan Lake. You could take a lifetime exploring
it. Absolutely.
Well, that kind of brings us right into our subject, because we like to keep the North State, right, and all of its wonderful things. And we have to have money in order to do certain things.
Funny how that works.
I know.
Yeah. And we have tremendous resources here.
We have lots of good resources.
It's so complementary to what we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. We have hydro.
Yep.
We have wind.
Yep.
There's solar. We have biomass. We have a lot of biomass.
Mm-hmm. With the cleaning up the forest.
Absolutely. And then there's a place down in Anderson called Wheelabrator, and they generate energy from biomass.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, you know, there's... we have waste management, and I'm sure that there's methane there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that there's...
We have a few farms.
Yeah, we have a few farms. Absolutely.
Cows.
Yes.
We got a few cows.
Yes. So, anyway, so let's talk about mining. You know, and thank you for coming back on the show.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It's good to see you.
Linda and I have been talking about this for a while, and we're trying to make a movement of this here in Shasta County.
Beautiful.
We feel as though with all of the things we just described, with having hydro, biomass, wind, and also methane, there's a chance to use some of that stranded energy from those energy sources to introduce a second option for maybe helping shore up our county and our city's treasuries, and that would be through Bitcoin mining. So that's where we'd love to take off with this.
I love it.
You know, you had a story about Fort Worth and how they got started. Now, the city of Fort Worth was and still is mining Bitcoin. So why don't I just give you the floor?
Yeah.
That's correct. So as you know, I'm from Fort Worth. And so we have the proud honor of being the first city in the United States to mine Bitcoin. And the Texas Blockchain Council, where I've worked, and they focus on making Texas the jurisdiction of choice for Bitcoin mining, blockchain innovation. And they approached the city of Fort Worth asking them to consider mining Bitcoin as a city. And the approach with Fort Worth was actually a marketing play, because Fort Worth, it's close to Dallas, but it's very different. So Dallas is known as a northern city. Fort Worth is very much a Texas town.
Right.
In the past, known for the Chisholm Trail and feeding the nation by the cattle drive that runs through it. But the leaders of Fort Worth also are very open to technology and innovation, and they were very interested in the opportunity to have eyes on Fort Worth and to be known as a tech-forward city, a city that's open to innovation. And so the Texas Blockchain Council donated just three machines to Fort Worth, and they plugged them in at their city hall and started mining Bitcoin with them. And it was really funny because I think the city council, you know, they were very concerned. They didn't want to spend any money on this project. And so the man who was helping headed up in coordination with the Texas Blockchain Council, Carlos Capua, he was so worried about, you know, what's the how much is going to be made by this, right. And he didn't want to have to spend a penny. But it was really beautiful. They ended up the first month, Bitcoin had tanked right around that time, and they made $6.25.
Wow.
So he was breathing a sigh of relief, but of course it grew as the months went by. But one of the things that Fort Worth was most pleased about in that decision was they really were looking for eyes on the city. And so they were very curious about how many media impressions they would get from the story. And they were thinking, you know what, if we got 1 million media impressions,
right,
that would be fantastic, you know, and maybe 100 million, you know, that's beyond what we could ever hope for. They ended up getting over 750 million impressions. I mean, you would pay millions of dollars in marketing campaigns,
sure,
to get those kinds of eyes on it. I think the farthest one away, the Malaysian Sun ran an article about Fort Worth being the first city to mine Bitcoin. So they were very pleased with how it turned out.
That's terrific. Now, did any of the council members worry about energy usage?
Yeah, you know, that's always a concern, because with Fort Worth, we weren't looking to do what you're suggesting around here, maybe looking at some of the wasted energy,
right,
and soaking that up. In Fort Worth, they weren't concerned about that. This was an on-grid. They were going to just plug in. And that pilot project, it was just kind of a proof of concept kind,
right,
of thing. So
sure,
there wasn't a lot of machines that were on. But even just seeing the balance, we made money.
Right.
They made money from it. But that's always the first question. But it's always a great place to start because, and I'm sure we'll get into this further as the show goes on.
Right.
But energy, it's so important. And to have a flourishing society, this is kind of taking a step back,
right,
you need cheap energy.
Right.
Accessible to all. And so that was one of the educational conversations that the Texas Blockchain Council was having and continues to have, especially with Texas. We have our own energy grid. But the way that Bitcoin mining solves problems, one, soaking up cheap energy or stranded energy, incentivizing infrastructure build out, in addition to supporting monetarily the municipality.
Right. And that's a great place right there. So they had made $6.25. Now, this was started, what, in 2021? Was that when they put on the first miners?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. And they're still running.
I can't remember. That's correct.
And they're generating revenue. And what do they do with the revenue or the Bitcoins that they're...
So
they have.
Fort Worth made a decision not to put Bitcoin on their balance sheet.
Okay, got it.
So what they do is when you mine Bitcoin, you usually join a mining pool. And what that does is it evens out the return. So you have your percentage of machines and they're hashing and mining Bitcoin. But as Bitcoin mining works, it's kind of like winning a lottery once every 10 minutes somewhere in the world.
Right.
A computer wins the lotto. And but if you're mining Bitcoin, you want your returns to be more regular than that. So what you would do is you join a mining pool, and then you'd get your pro rata share of that pool of the profits of Bitcoin every day, usually. And so what Fort Worth was doing is the pool would send their Bitcoin to an exchange, and they held it on the exchange.
Okay.
And then every 3 months, I believe, they would sell it into dollars.
So it ended up on your balance sheet at some point in time, but it wasn't on, as Bitcoin. It came on
dollars.
As fiat.
That's right.
Federal Reserve notes. So what did they do with that? Did it help their did it help their treasury in terms of offsetting expenses, or did that go to benefit their citizens in some sort of way? I mean,
that is a good question. I don't actually have the answer to that. Obviously, the $6.25. I don't know how far it goes, but
can you imagine if it was a loss, they would probably have turned those miners off.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. But again, it was mostly a pilot project.
Sure.
But the real interesting things happen when you start scaling it,
right?
And so now maybe you have access to free or cheap power. Maybe you're partnering with private industry and splitting the returns. Then you can be talking about some significant money that could go into a number of things, offsetting taxes, schools, you name it.
See, and that's what our position was, is that here up in Northern California, rural area, we're always clamoring for our share of grant money and share of tax money, and it doesn't always seem to be – there's never enough, and you have wages that continue to grow that are within our city and county budgets, and so those incomes go up, and so the taxes have to go up. Revenue has to come in from somewhere to pay those increasing wages, new jobs created within the government realm, you know, so, and in benefits and all of that type of thing. So it seems as though if we want more for in services as citizens, we're going to have to contribute more, even though maybe our city governments and our county government is not too good at pruning their own membership.
Here in the North State, we're wanting to, unplug from Sacramento and not being reliant on any funds from
because there's always strings attached.
Because there's always strings attached to that money, and it comes at a great cost, like you say, because the strings are attached.
Definitely.
And we don't want to be caught up in that. That's why Shasta County, above a lot of the counties, is saying no. Stop. We want to do our thing. We want to be in control. We want to have the say what's happening. And something like the mining could give us a step towards that freedom, because you wouldn't be relying on anybody else except our own resources.
Absolutely. Well, and we can talk about this as the show goes on, but I think El Salvador
provides a very interesting example. Yeah.
And then also what's going on in Africa.
Sure.
But starting with El Salvador, so when the president decided to make Bitcoin legal tender in the nation, there was a lot of pushback from the International Monetary Fund. And they really threatened them that they would get no more money from us if you do this.
Right.
And so he pushed forward, and, you know, there was a lot of concern about they wouldn't be able to pay their debts, and they paid them just fine. But what he
and
is,
early, as a matter of fact.
And early.
Right.
But what the president has been proposing is, in a sense, crowdsourcing the funds for the nation by selling volcano bonds. So they're taking their volcanoes and the geothermal energy there, and they are using them to mine Bitcoin. Yes. And they're proposing selling bonds, these bonds, to fund the nation and mine Bitcoin. So they're still working on that. But along the way, Luxor, which is one of the main mining pools we spoke earlier about when you pool together the hash power. So Luxor presented what is called lava pools to target this market of volcano mining. And the fascinating thing is they have said that they will give 23% of the profit of the lava pools to the government of El Salvador. And so Bukele, they're working, planning to create a Bitcoin city. And I think, correct me if I'm remembering this wrong, but most, they won't have hardly any taxes there at all. Right. I think there's like maybe sales tax or one tax that remains, but everything else is going to be funded by the mining of Bitcoin with their volcanoes.
Isn't that incredible?
I have to ask, does the volcanoes have to have lava in them? I mean, do they have to be active? Because we have two.
I was just thinking that.
Well, you know,
we have
two.
Well, we have Lassen and we have Mount Shasta.
They're active.
They're kind of active,
you know? Yeah, like the sulfur pots. I was joking with some of my Bitcoin mining friends when I was out hiking Mount Lassen this summer because they have those sulfur pools that bubble up.
Yeah.
I'm like, in search of Bitcoin mining.
Exactly.
There's so many opportunities with waste money. And that's the beauty of free market. That's the beauty of Bitcoin.
That's true.
It acts like a sponge going everywhere in the world to all these stranded resources and soaks them up. And later I'd love to talk about Africa and what's going on there. But a friend of mine, Lisa Ho, always says, no waste, monetizing every molecule.
Right.
And that's the beauty of this technology.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, before we move on, I just have one question. You're on the Texas Bitcoin Council.
Texas Blockchain Council,
Yeah. Is there other states that have those councils?
Absolutely.
Yeah, does California have that?
There are people in California. I will connect you with them. And Lee Bratcher, who founded the Texas Blockchain Council, he's also been given a leadership position now on a more national United States focused. So yes, you have people here that I'd love to connect you with because people don't ever say anything about that.
That's true.
How many people know that?
Well, and I think, you know, when you think of California, Texas is a natural landing place for a lot of the Bitcoin mining because we have a free market for energy. And when you're out at a place where it's hard to get the energy to market, then you can get very cheap energy. And when you're mining Bitcoin, the one with the lowest cost of power wins every time. So that's obviously a draw. And when you're thinking about California, you don't necessarily think about cheap energy or abundant energy.
Right.
But that's where conversations like this are so helpful because you were talking about the biomass. Or maybe you have solar and wind that in the summer, Redding has a lot of sun, that they have more than enough power, and you can't really, even if you put it in a battery, the battery is almost always full all the time anyway. So you recharge it a little bit, but it's not like you can move that battery to San Francisco or Sacramento.
Right.
And so the batteries they're not so helpful.
Right.
But there's ways to soak up that excess energy, and get it to market.
We love that.
Yeah.
Let's touch on one thing. And I know it's a question that comes up many times is that, mining, we're coming up on a halving here. Right now, when a block is mined, it's 6.25 Bitcoin, and it's going to be down to, three and an eighth at that point per block award. And there's still benefit. There's still tremendous benefit in mining. So the argument would be, well, why would we want to mine if we're not going to make the Bitcoin? Because there is a transition from the mining of Bitcoin to transaction fees of supporting the network. Can you comment on that a bit?
Absolutely. So the halving, and clarify as we always do, right? This is not financial advice.
Right.
We don't know what the price of Bitcoin is going to do in the long term or the short term, but it does, the halving acts as it's intended to act as a forcing function of the price because the supply is more and more scarce. And we know that price is a function of supply and demand. So the supply is going to be cut in half. But now with these ETFs, spot ETFs that have to lock up the Bitcoin, it does cause a scarcity crunch.
Right.
And so if the price doubles, then you're making the same.
Right.
Now, miners, this is why it's really important to have cheap energy,
right?
Because the ones with the highest cost of power are going to come online because they're not going to be profitable anymore. And then, as I'm sure you've spoken about in the show, the difficulty adjusts and makes it easier to mine
right.
Bitcoin so that the block is only created once every 10 minutes. So that is still going to go on for the next 100 years.
That's
they're
right.
still going to be mining Bitcoin.
Yes.
But to answer your question, there's also the transaction fees.
Right.
And so there's more and more competition to get into that layer one. And so just the other day, because now there's people are trying to build on blockchain to make it a little like Ethereum, where you can put JPEGs and
right.
other things, the great ordinal
the
debate.
The ordinals, right.
There's more and more competition to get into the blockchain and as Bitcoin expands. And so, oh my goodness. I did a transaction the other day, and it was quoting me $200 right. a transaction fee. And so
wow.
right now, if you're mining Bitcoin, you're getting 6.25 if you win the winning block plus the transaction fees, which is about one Bitcoin.
Right.
And so as time goes on, even though the block reward, the 6.25 down to 3.125, will go down, the transaction fees will most likely continue to go up.
And they'll make up the difference.
Yes.
And with that, I'm sorry, but it is that time we need to take a break. You're listening to Tokens Radio Show, and we will pick this conversation up on the other side in about 5 minutes.
Sounds good.
Let's go, Karen. Let's go, Brandon. And let's go fishing. We can make America great again. Turn right on a two-track and turn off CNN. And let's go fishing. Let's go wishing.
Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
No, it's the only way. But wouldn't you like to know? I feel to live like a free man.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. First up, the buck stops here.
California is fed up waiting on Shasta County to distribute long overdue homelessness aid. Warning, if over $4 million doesn't flow to the North State service providers within 30 days, the county risks losing it all. The funds awarded regionally over a year ago have been locked in county coffers, stalling 6 nonprofits ready to roll with approved housing and prevention programs. Now with Redding leading the NorCal Continuum of Care Network, the state demands the county relinquish withheld grants so critical projects can finally combat homelessness. Shasta administrators say they intend to comply if supervisors permit. This unacceptable delay distributing promised funds has tried state patients and kept needed housing help held hostage. The time has come for Shasta to relinquish the grants or wave goodbye to the money. Meanwhile, the sounds of progress ring out in Shasta Lake. Fencing lines Shasta Dam Boulevard, marking a $36 million redevelopment to uplift the community. The Cascade Village Project will transform eyesores into 53,000 square feet of affordable housing and retail. The city has teamed up with developers, the Rancheria Tribe, and a nonprofit to bring change on the boulevard. Bulldozers are chomping at the bit to clear room for 49 apartments and shops. The O Thrift Store and From the Hearth Coffee Kiosk are being demolished to make room for the new development. Nearby, the Rancheria will build lodging and more shops. It's a monumental makeover, years in the making. Although citizens have voiced their concern about how this project will change the city, Shasta Lake manager Jessica Lugo says, quote, "We are excited to see new development." For our last brief, a public service announcement. The Shasta County Republican Assembly, SCRA, is proud to announce our endorsements for the upcoming Shasta County Board of Supervisors elections. For District 2, the SCRA endorses Laura Hobbs for County Supervisor. In District 3, we endorse Wynn Carpenter. And for District 4, the SCRA endorsement goes to Patrick Henry Jones. We believe that these fine candidates will best represent the values and policy priorities of Shasta County voters who align with the Republican Party platform and principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and individual liberty. The SCRA also strongly urges voters in District 1 to vote no on recalling the sitting supervisor, Kevin Cry. We stand firmly behind Supervisor Cry and call on District 1 residents to reject this unnecessary and disruptive recall effort. We encourage all Republicans and like-minded independent voters to support our endorsed candidates and causes so that together we can assure sensible, conservative leadership for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Yes, someday you might feel the need someday. When you're tired of bleeding for someone else, you're gonna want it for yourself. Well, I ain't saying no, it's the only way.
And we're back. This is actually, it's called Free Man. And it is Angie somebody. Christina probably has it right in front of her. But it's actually somebody that works with, what's his name, John Rich?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right, all right.
Yeah,
I'll
get
it. Is this one of his discoveries? Because he's running his own production company now.
Well, this guy, I believe, has been around for a long time. Okay. And this is a new release, and I'll
perfect.
Tell you.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, yeah, that was a new one, and so was the one before that is a new song that was put out by Aaron Lewis.
Oh, wonderful.
Let's Go Fishing.
Is
we
the like
name
it.
Of the song, and yes. It's great. Yes. But you just have to know that there is certain words in Aaron Lewis's that if you have young ears around the two, you probably don't want them to hear it.
Yes. So. It will get the station in trouble.
Yeah, and but it's a great song because let's go Karen, let's go Brandon, let's go fishing.
Okay.
You know,
type
got
thing.
It. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So with that, we'll come back. We've got Christine in the studio with us, and we were talking about mining. And during the break and before, we talked about Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And you really wanted to hit upon that subject about Africa. So it's all yours.
I think Africa gives a beautiful example of the potential of this technology to really bless
a nation, bless a city. So in Africa, there are so many communities that do not have power.
Right.
And there have been companies coming in to try to build out power in these remote regions, particularly hydroelectric. So maybe taking advantage of a river and creating power that way, or possibly solar if they happen to have some around. But the problem is it costs money to do these developments, but when they build it out, they're only getting about 40% usage of the power.
Okay.
And so the investors have not been so interested in building out the grid because there's no return on their investment.
Right.
So there's a group called Gridless, and they are going in to these remote places in Africa, and they're telling them, look, we will be your buyer of last resort. So every bit of power that is not used by your people, we will purchase. And they are mining Bitcoin with that power.
Wow.
So they're getting it very cheap, but what it's doing is it's incentivizing infrastructure build out. So then they can rinse and repeat, do it in another village, another village. And, you know, in Texas, we bump into this a lot because there's this misconception that Bitcoin mining is going to steal all the cheap energy and it's going to drive up the cost of power for Texans. But actually, it's not the case. So when in Texas, we have about 30% of our grid is renewable. So we have just acres and acres and acres of wind and solar in places in Texas that it's difficult to get it to market, but we have an overabundance of it. And so a lot of those projects are incentivized, there's financial incentivization, but they wouldn't actually even be profitable without that financial incentivization. And so what Bitcoin miners can do is become the buyers of last resort. Or likewise, even with the on-grid projects, right? There's two benefits to the on-grid projects. One of them is Bitcoin is considered what we call a large flexible load, meaning you can shut it off in an instant. It doesn't damage the product. And so because Texas has a free market for power, when there's an emergency and there's a need for more power, the price goes up.
Right.
And so the miners, there's different ways that they're incentivized to shut down to provide more power back to the grid. One is just economically. So when the price of power goes way up, the cost of mining Bitcoin becomes prohibitive, right? They're losing money by mining Bitcoin. So they turn off and they save the money during those expensive times. But then other miners have they have hedged power contracts. So maybe they're getting their power for 4.5 cents a kilowatt hour, perhaps. And so then they can sell that power back to the grid in times of emergency. So it brings online a whole bunch of power during winter storms. But then in addition to that, the thing that signals the need for more grid build out is money, right? Like the more power takers there are, the more capital can flow in and say, okay, there is a market to create more power nodes. And so what it's doing is it's strengthening and developing the grid in Texas, similar to what we're seeing in Africa.
Right.
Yes. Interesting.
That's so that, yeah, they can at whenever decide just to shut off the miners and the power goes back.
Right.
Not like the electric cars here that just keep pulling.
Right.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
people don't realize that it would give back to the environment, back to the grid.
Yeah. And, you know, California is known for, there's a push, you know, to do the energy transition and the electric cars and stuff. But what happens when you have that many more electric cars trying to plug into the grid?
That's right.
Right.
Especially when you have an old grid.
Yes.
A grid that needs to be improved and updated.
Right. You need the money to flow in to build out the infrastructure. You can either do that by taking the taxpayers' money Or in these ways, it's a win-win because the mining is producing funds. So whether that goes to the investors that helped to do that or maybe partnering with the city, like what we said with El Salvador and them pushing back from the profits, maybe the city offering, hey, we've got, I mean, you've got Shasta Dam. I don't know how much of your hydroelectric you're using, but if there's anything extra, you know, you can bring that in as money coming in. To offset
absolutely
some of the costs.
Yeah, and that's one thing nice about where we're at is because the city of Redding has their own utilities.
So does the city of Shasta Lake.
Oh, that's true, too. Yes.
Yes.
So it's not like we're dependent on the whole the whole state.
Let's talk about the Bernie Basin for a moment.
Okay.
With all the windmills out there, there was an article that came out about a year ago that was talking about their stranded energy. And that how much energy that produces, it's far greater. It has, at this current time, able to produce enough energy to take us all the way through 2030.
Wow.
So just on that one wind project. So we're not using that energy, obviously. So they want to build another project called Fountain Wind. So what are we going to do with all of this energy that cannot be used in the grid? Are they anticipating all of these electric cars that need to be completely pulling from the grid all of the time? It's hard to say, but the point of it is that we may have an opportunity here to either from a public perspective or a public-private partnership or even an incentivized private purchase to be able to go out and be the buyer of last resort, so to speak, because obviously it already exists in the Bernie Basin.
Well, and in a place where you have so many renewables, renewables are notorious. They're not reliable in the sense that when there's a storm, like in Texas, our windmills freeze up and the sun is not shining. And that's exactly when you need the most power.
Exactly.
But there's another problem with the renewables, and it has to do with what we call the duck curve. So if you imagine the shape, the outline of a duck, right, it, like the head and then go down to the belly.
Right.
So with renewables, there's more than enough when it's windy and sunny, but there's not enough when there's a time of need. And the thing about a grid is it needs to stay stable.
Right.
So I think it's like 60 hertz. It has to stay stable. And so it's a problem if you have all that power coming on intermittently. Right. And then I think in one of the Scandinavian countries, I think I mentioned this in the last show, but they built out these pristine new nuclear facility, and nuclear is very dependable. It's on all the time.
Right.
But because they had so much wind coming on, they had to shut down and curtail the nuclear plant, which is very bad
for
those assets. And so, so in a place where you do have so much wind and solar, they would be much better off if they just soaked up the excess demand with Bitcoin mining and use those funds for whatever you want to use it for, rather than damaging any, you know, a nuclear facility or any other infrastructure that you have because of the intermittent nature of large amounts of power and a dearth of power.
Yeah, because talking about that project, what are they doing with the excess? It's not like they can store it.
It just goes away.
It just goes away anyway.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
Yeah.
It's not like, and once it's gone, you can't go, okay, we want it back.
Yep.
Let's reel it back in. It doesn't work that way. Gone is gone.
Right. And, you know, traditionally, the big cities developed around ports, right? You had to go to the place where your resources could be used. You know, if you're going to be shipping out your exports, you have to be at a center of commerce like that. But the beautiful thing about Bitcoin mining, because it's location agnostic, you can take your data box out and plop it wherever you want. Well, now people don't have to move. Right now, we can financially benefit these stranded areas. You see it, I mean, driving through, you know, out to Whiskeytown, all the gold mining towns,
They
build up the infrastructure and then it's gone. And this skeleton of a civilization in a sense. And this is the beautiful thing is now you can go anywhere and soak up that power.
You could bring a container.
Yep.
Put it right on the back of a truck. Bring it out to a site. plug in.
Exactly.
And you can run.
That's, and we haven't even talked about it, but at this show, but that's where my most of our mining is focused is stranded gas. So in Texas, there's a lot of natural gas that you can't get to market because either there's not a pipeline built out there or it actually doesn't have any room in the pipeline because there's too much of it. And it costs money to push it into the pipeline.
It does.
So people are burning it or venting it, flaring it or venting it, which isn't good for the environment. Methane is much worse for the environment than carbon dioxide. And so Bitcoin mining is actually not only soaking up this wasted energy, there's enough wasted natural gas to power the whole Bitcoin mining network seven times over, but it's also cleaning up the environment because it's pulling that methane out and transforming it into digital monetary energy.
And Bitcoin is very green. It's innovating. It recognizes the complaints and the problems, and that's what's created this innovation.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and it's going to continue on. I wanted to maybe switch gears a little bit and actually talk about the benefit of bringing this to a local government treasury. And, and your president, Lee Bratcher, had talked about that a little bit, about how a Bitcoin mining operation can enrich a local government's treasury.
Absolutely. And there's actually been progress in this area quite recently. Okay. So in the past, and this may have been the reason why Fort Worth didn't put it on their balance sheet. I wasn't privy to those conversations. But I do know that in the past, prior to this year, 2024, corporations, municipalities were hesitant to put Bitcoin on their balance sheet because the way the accounting rules worked around Bitcoin is when the price goes down, the value of that reserve is taken down. So, but Bitcoin hit, you know, 16,000. So you're like, okay, well, it's valued at 16,000 of Bitcoin. But then when it goes up, there was no way to reflect that on your balance sheet.
Right.
And so the FASB rule of accounting recently made a change that starting at the end of 2024, you're going to be able to mark the value of that asset up to the current price of Bitcoin.
Good.
And so that's going to open the door for a lot more eyes to come on to this. We know that central banks are currently buying up gold, right? At a rapid pace, and it's kind of an insurance against the other instruments that are all connected together, right? So we've had this perfect storm when interest rates have been going up, the value of the treasury bonds have been going down, and also with the tightening of liquidity, the stock market goes down. And so whereas in the past we thought, well, bonds and stocks are reverse correlated, and so they protect you when one goes up, the other goes down. But we've seen in times like this where liquidity is drying up, there's not as many loans going out, and interest rates are going up, and because of that, the value of your bond that had a lower interest rate, you sell it for less, they've been going down. And so people are looking during this time, whether it be a time of high inflation where the liquidity comes back because they're just printing so much of it and devaluing the dollar, or times of deflation because they're pulling all the money out of the system. The central banks are recognizing, whoa, we need something that's outside of this paradigm. And so they're looking to gold, which is relatively scarce. We don't really know how much gold there is, or how much gold is hidden away or maybe locked up in the national parks. We don't know. But traditionally, they've looked at gold as something that if you get your hands on it, it's retained its value across time as something as a hedge.
5,000 years.
Right. And so obviously Bitcoin gives us what many people look to as a digital gold, a gold 2.0, because it's perfectly scarce, much more scarce than gold in the sense like it is a cap supply. There will never be more than 21 million. As a matter of fact, there won't even be 21 million. It's like slightly less. So again, like not putting all your eggs in one basket, but you know, if you analyze people's portfolio, even a 5% allocation to Bitcoin does a tremendous job in evening out your returns in these turbulent times right. that we find ourselves in.
Yeah. I agree, both personally and for a corporate entity or government entity. We had talked a lot about stranded energy and the benefits there. But what about a local government that has its own energy source, such as we talked about Redding and the city of Shasta Lake? That seems to me like the obvious benefits because of the ease and access to already built-in infrastructure.
Yes. To me, it's a no-brainer, but it really does take the education because people don't understand why not maximize the power that you have.
Right.
If the people have enough, or if there's a concern that there may be times when there's more of a need, and so Bitcoin miners are stand at the ready to shut down and be good grid citizens. But why not monetize it to the hilt, right? I only see upsides in that. I don't really see a downside. Yes, there may come in a narrative that tries to come against that, but when you help people tease it out, there's only benefits, right? And whether you partner maybe with a private entity to help bring that investment in, however you do it, I mean, there's so many creative ways to do it, but it seems like it should be an obligation for cities to maximize the value of their assets.
Yeah, because just look at what the return could be to the people of the city of Redding or Shasta Lake if they did something with that. Like we've talked before, Alaska.
Well, Alaska, but also Miami, who is actually probably more of a better example because Alaska's just bringing that online.
But the people are getting a percentage back.
Yes, they absolutely are. And like in Miami, they would sell their Bitcoin, and then they put it into the treasury, some in fiat and then some in Bitcoin. But their residents were getting a residual income as well, as long as they were a registered voter.
Wouldn't you feel better if you – I mean, I
They're
don't live in the city of Redding. I don't know if your utilities is Shasta Lake, but my point being, you know, you pay your bill, say it's $100, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice if after a quarter, whatever, hey, look, I got X amount of dollars back because they were mining Bitcoin and this is my kickback.
Right. Who's gonna protest?
Who would complain about writing that $100 check so much? I'm just saying, you know.
Well, in Texas, I'm not as familiar with the grid that you're on here in California, but part of grid, we talked about how the grid needs to be balanced at 16 hertz. And so what they do is they have what's called ancillary services where the grid basically pays power operators to be on call. So maybe it's a storm, they need them to shut off. But maybe they need them on. And so they're bidding out. So the miners and different, different legacy industries are bidding to be a part of those ancillary services. So they're saying, well, I will participate at this price. I'll participate at a lower price. And the Bitcoin miners are outbidding a lot of the legacy power takers because they're not as damaged by turning off. You know, if you turn off a steel mill, you know, like it's going to be a ramp down and a ramp up time. And so because of the ancillary services bidding going on in Texas, we're already seeing, even though people don't recognize it, having Bitcoin miners participate in that bid brings down the cost of power for Texans, in addition to incentivizing infrastructure build-out. So, yeah, to your point, I don't think anyone would be complaining if their taxes are shaved off or if they're getting some sort of refund or anything like that.
So we showed all the good things.
Right.
Is there any bad, do you have any cons against a city or something bringing mining on?
I think, you know, you have to be ready for pushback. It's this oddity of this world that we lived in that some of the best solutions out there, and we see this with health solutions, right? Suddenly, legacy corporations don't like being disrupted.
Oh, no.
And so
they don't like the competition.
Yeah, Jamie Dimon hates Bitcoin. He's not a stupid man. He knows that it is a threat. So It's a challenge to what he's doing. And so you're going to get anything that's disruptive is going to get pushback. So it's important to be educated, be ready for that, and to be able to answer and just make the case to the people. You know, like this is the benefits that we see.
Sometimes change is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're a candidate out there who's running for office right now or you're existing in office, we would love to talk with you because we believe that this is a campaign issue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And believe that
an issue for the future that
a commission to be appointed to look into this, possibly to bring into our community.
Well, we're going to be coming up here to the end of the show. We just want to thank you
so much. My pleasure.
It is so nice to always have you in the studio and back in Northern California.
We're hoping that perhaps we might be able to get somebody who is listening and wants to take this on as an issue, and we can meet together before you leave.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
All right. And we will see you all next week.
Take care, everybody.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.